Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When I was a kid, my dad was a cop. Then he was in forensics. Then he was a New South Wales firefighter. This season of Loose Units is called Hot Stuff Coming Through. And apart from having an incredibly cool and stupid name, it's going to reveal the untold side of being a firefighter in Australia. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units Hot Stuff Coming Through. I'm Paul Verhoeven and my dad, John Verhoeven, used to be a firefighter. And we talk every week about stuff he used to do in his job. Problem is, we just recorded 5 minutes of what I would say some of our best podcasting. And then we lost it in a...
It was my fault, Paul. I take full responsibility, but it was golden material like my mic.
And you'll never, never hear it. No. Isn't that infuriating?
But it had lots of, you know, lots of double meaning stuff, which I love.
Lots of double entendres.
I thrive. I didn't want to use the word entendre.
What we're trying to say is it was much better than that.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, sure.
These Fire Brigade podcasts are about to come to an end.
They are. We are almost at the end of the Fire Brigade stories. Obviously, they had to come to a finish at some point.
Mm. And some people have actually said to me, why don't you just make more and more stories? Like, just create them. But our mantra has been throughout this entire experience, Paul, for the last few years, is to make sure everything's factual.
Yeah. And, you know, the books are based on real things that happened, but the podcast is literally just Dad's stories from his time as a police officer or a forensics, you know, investigator or in the fire brigade. And the only way for you to come up with more stories, Dad, would be for you to re-enroll. And I assume that's off the cards.
Mm. I have occasionally thought about re-enrolling. And if I had to choose which service I'd re-enroll in, look, they're all pretty good. Yeah, no, they're all great. I couldn't make that call. The good part of the story is that now we'll just go sort of, we've been into the dip, the sadness.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go into something pretty exciting. And that is that for those people that might not know this, and I probably feel there might be just a few, but whilst I was in the New South Wales Fire Brigades, I answered an ad in the local paper, which was the Manly Daily. And they required someone to polish cars that happened to be just funeral cars, like hearses and things. And that is the beginning of at least 2 years of the most extraordinary. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the stories from the funeral business, definitely some of the most extraordinary stories that you'll ever hear.
Basically, what's going to happen is the next season of Loose Units, which will be in a couple of weeks actually, is going to be called Loose Units Dead Serious, and it's going to be all about Dad's time working at a funeral home. And we've kind of teased a lot of that stuff. If you pick up Electric Blue, which is the next book that I've written about Dad's adventures, you will actually get a taste of that. There's some of Dad's time in the funeral business over there. It is interesting how you tended to gravitate towards jobs that were deeply tragic.
Look, it's just a coincidence, really.
That wouldn't happen to normal people, is what I'm saying.
Are you saying I'm not normal?
Absolutely.
Normal
I stand by
people.
That. Dad, you are not normal. And you,
I mean, what is normal?
But do you, hang on, do you think you're normal, really?
I mean, I'd like to have a dictionary by my side here, but I think we should perhaps use the word eccentric. Mildly eccentric.
You are absolutely eccentric. Let's go with eccentric. Okay. Well, look, obviously we are nearing the end of the Fire Brigade stories, and I put a call out last night on our Facebook page over at facebook.com/loose units, which is where you can go if you want to ask us questions and interact with us and kind of, you know, just kind of join in with the Loose Units community. And I told people that it was almost the end of Hot Stuff Coming Through. And a whole bunch of really great questions came through. So I thought I would read some of these to you, Dad, if you want to kind of rattle some of these off with me. Here we go. And this is from Mandy. Hi, Paul. I have a question for John regarding hot stuff coming through. One of the first episodes you mentioned the 94 bushfires. I may only have been 10 at the time, but that December/January was something I'll never forget. What was it like for you, John, when you were fighting those fires?
It all came to a head on a Saturday morning. I was at Forestville. It had been pretty heavy up until that day, and then one of the guys on our shift, he went sick. I think I've made mention of that before. He just took it. He just didn't turn up. And he really, I mean, I guess it was like we've been watching that Michael Jordan incredible show on Netflix about, you know, it's a 10-parter about the Bulls. They were called the Bulls, weren't they?
And, the Chicago Bulls, yes, yes.
There's the Chicago Bulls, and there's a really famous scene in that entire series where one of the nicest guys, that, you know how you sort of, when you watch a doco and you sort of warm to certain characters?
Yeah.
And my favourite characters, Pippin, does that name ring a bell?
Scotty Pippin. You make it sound like a hobbit, but yes, Scotty Pippin.
No, but he just seems to be he just seems so likable. And he's got the best voice possibly I've ever heard, apart from mine. He's just, but that famous game where he decided not to, he sat on the sideline, and it was something he's regretted ever since. And it was a seminal moment, and it sort of altered the relationship between him and his colleagues. The reason I mention that is that this particular firefighter that didn't turn up that morning when we really needed him, and also we were a close-knit team, and there was that tremendous sense of camaraderie. And when someone in that environment, particularly emergency services, where, and I guess in the military as well, where your life really depends on that tight group, and because you know how everyone is and how they feel and how they react, and you can always rely on them. And when one guy just pulls the pin, it has a dramatic effect on the morale of everyone else. And that particular firefighter that took a dive on that fateful Saturday morning during that hellish bushfire season, and we knew that Saturday morning was going to be really traumatic. And there's that story when we had to go up to near the crematorium, which is a bit weird when I say crematorium in lieu of what we're going to be the next season. But we were stationed up there on this ridge, and it was really quiet and still, and there was no traffic on the road. They'd shut down all the roads on basically the northern part of Sydney, and there was an eerie sense of calm. And it was a sense of calm that really lulled us into a false sense of security, where you actually can't believe that things are going to go into almost an apocalyptic scenario. And my crew, so I was the motor driver at the back of the pump, and my crew went into the bush near the crematorium, and all of a sudden I thought it sounded like a train coming, and the fire came up the hill. It jumped the road, which is a main road, so it created basically a tunnel of fire. So I was underneath the tunnel, and I was by myself at the back of the pump. The fire basically just jumped over the entire road and then went into the bush, and I realised that all my colleagues were probably going to be burnt to death. They had no idea what was behind them, and there was no way out. You can't outrun these things. But they had one hose, and so I cranked up the pressure. I couldn't see them, I couldn't hear them. The whole area was just engulfed in fire, basically a fireball. I expected to lose my three, like that's the station officer and two, so three guys. And out of nowhere, this helicopter came, and remarkably, it must have seen the three guys, my crew in the bush, and it just dumped thousands of gallons of water on them. I mean, I didn't know what was happening. I could see what was happening, but I didn't quite understand. I didn't link everything. And then my three colleagues came out of the bush like drowned rats, and that they'd been saved by this helicopter. Extraordinary situation.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that was an intense couple of days. And I didn't get to go home. And Christine was at home with you kids. And basically Sydney, particularly the northern part of Sydney, was just glowing. And we lost lots and lots and lots of houses. And there was a lot of trauma, but the camaraderie and these incidents tend to bring communities together. And I'll never forget families were coming to the fire station at Forestville, knocking on the door and bringing us like food hampers. You'd pull in to get fuel at service stations, and the service stations would just say, guys, just take what you like.
Oh, wow.
And there was just a really wonderful, and you'd pull up at lights and families would be waving. And, you know, look, in times of tragedy, they can be a very uniting sort of experience where people tend to come together. I find that in these times, that's when you probably get to know your neighbours when everyone comes out on the street. Yeah, so that was pretty full on. So hopefully that answers that question.
I think it does. And that's a really interesting story. I hadn't actually heard some of that stuff. And I love the fact that, you know, people from the community kind of banded together to support the firefighters. Here is a sort of strange pivot. This is less of a question, by the way, Dad, and more of just some correspondence from a lovely listener. This is from Tom Hayes. Did you know that in the UK, the police refer to firefighters as water fairies? P.S. This podcast is my happy place, and the book kept me company while my other half was off her head and snoozing whilst in labour recently. So thank you for your endless hours of entertainment. Tom, thank you for that lovely piece of correspondence. Dad, did you know that police in the UK refer to firefighters as water fairies? And how do you feel about that?
Well, I definitely didn't know that. I've never heard that term before. And I'm wondering whether it's a term of endearment. It's an interesting point. A water fairy. Interesting. Yeah, I've never heard it before. I may never hear it again. But I actually, here's a little story about the fires in England.
Yeah.
When Windsor Castle caught alight.
I remember that, yeah.
The fires did an amazing job and they saved a lot of the priceless collection from that particular fire. And I remember I met this guy many, many years ago and he showed me this tiny little sort of a brass hinge and it looked really, really old. And he said to me that a mate of his who was a fiery had picked it up in the rubble after the fire and it had belonged to this ancient door. And he kept it. And somehow or other, it ended up with this mate of his, and then his mate, I met him, and then he knew I was into antiques, and he showed me this beautiful early hinge that had come from Windsor Castle. I mean, there aren't too many situations in life where you can, you know, just find a hinge. I mean, we've been to Windsor Castle, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
And the chances of just finding an old hinge, you know, sitting somewhere, except in that fire situation, of course. A lot of stuff was destroyed, and he felt that was a fairly nice souvenir. So it's not the most exciting story, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, it does kind of end with a hinge, which is not super thrilling.
No,
that's okay.
No.
Jesus Christ. Look, some of the stories about emergency services work can be a bit banal, but I do have a question here from a listener. Hi, Paul and John. My question isn't very nice and a bit taboo. Well, I think so anyway. When my dad used to talk about people being burnt in fires, I was a curious kid eavesdropping. The fireys called them crispy critters. I believe this is the dark humour talking. Was there any firefighter lingo that John used when talking with other firefighters that the general public wouldn't understand? Thanks, guys. Love the show and can't wait to see you live.
well, yes, but nothing that I can really talk about in the podcast.
Okay.
I'm afraid because...
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. And I'd have to give it a lot of thought. I know that there were certain terms we used to use.
Yeah.
But look, definitely not for press. And my mum listens to this and it'd just freak me out if I knew.
Well, look, I do have another question here.
This is from
Lynette Hunston. Was there any major point in your career where you had a major fail in equipment where maybe you couldn't rescue that cat from the tree? Lynette, that's very sweet that you went straight to cat from tree. First of all, Dad, have you ever rescued a cat from a tree?
I'm really pleased that you've touched on the cat in the tree.
Why?
Because I used to get calls at Manly Fire Station, normally about 2 a.m. from some poor person that was worried about their cat up a tree, or they'd seen a cat up a tree. And my question to them was, have you ever seen a cat's skeleton up a tree?
Why would you say that to them?
Because... Paul, that means that cats can get down. They don't go up a tree and then die there and become, and their skeleton just remains there. I mean, it's a good point, isn't it? But putting that aside, because now everyone thinks that I hate cats and I actually love cats. We had a cat once.
What? No, we didn't.
No. Oh, well, Christine and I had a cat. It was called a Seal Point Siamese.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, it didn't really like me. But that's... I mean, I was always very nice to it, but it was very temperamental.
Right.
I mean, I say it didn't like me. I mean, how do we really know what cats and dogs think?
Sure.
Because we do tend to...
Cats tend to kind of... You know, cats tend to make it a bit difficult to ascertain whether...
But they are. They're smart. But anyway, look, we're not going to go down that cat thing. But what was the question again?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hang on a sec. Let me check. Every time something like this happens, I have to edit it. So every time we do this, we're creating more work for Paul. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Lynette was asking, was there any point in your career where you had a major fail in equipment where you maybe couldn't rescue that cat from the tree?
That's right.
That was just an example.
However, Paul, what we would do is we would, as a mark and sign of respect and love for our fellow community, we would all get up at 2 a.m. in the rain or whatever, midwinter, and we'd go out. And sometimes we'd call the ladders out, which really made them really happy. Mm. And we'd get the ladder and the guy'd go up and try and grab the cat. And he would normally invariably sustain major lacerations to his arm, because the last thing the cat wants to see is some guy with a big hat on coming up and trying to grab it. Because the cat knows that it can actually get down. You with me?
Yeah.
And I actually know a firefighter, and this is going to piss a few people off, but hey, I wasn't there. It's a story, but it's true. And they actually used the hose on the cat, and they literally blew it out of the tree. And the cat probably went into free fall, hit the ground and left the scene. But that's an extreme example of how to get a cat down.
Do you think the cat was okay?
Yeah, the cat was okay. It was fine.
Okay,
cats are amazing. They can jump out of tall buildings and sometimes survive. Well, I don't really think cats would do that.
No, neither do I.
No.
How about any other times when your gear has malfunctioned?
Malfunctioned? No, never.
Really?
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, there have been situations where people have forgotten how to use the basic equipment, like the pumps and things, but that's in a stress situation.
Right.
It reminds me of a friend I went to school with, and he was a sweet guy, and at a set of lights, he thought he was going to drag this car off, but he got so excited that he actually put it into reverse, and he reversed into the car behind while the other car took off.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The lights, and that was pretty sad. So that's an example of a little bit of mild stress.
And that was a fire engine.
It was not a fire engine, no. That would have been really, really bad.
Here we go. Oh, here we go. This is great. Dad, I have another question here, and this is from Lance. Hey guys, I'm a line haul truckie in New Zealand and cart a lot of dangerous goods, i.e. class 3 flammables or class 8 corrosives. I was wondering if you have any stories about trucks carrying DGs, either crashes or spills.
Yeah, I've got a great one. sometimes these accidents happen in really weird locations. You know, you get a lot of country haulage things that happen, and these trucks can carry all sorts of things. And on board every fire engine in, well, I can only speak for New South Wales, but there's a special book in the front of the cabin. It's a fairly thick book. It's about an inch, maybe 2.5 centimetres thick. And it basically tells you every chemical, I won't say known to man, but it's got, it really covers a lot of amazing sort of scientific and chemical details about everything you are likely to come across on the road that's being transported. And you've got all these different signs that we see on the backs of these trucks. And it might say, there's a code, and the fire is no. You know, it might say 3YE. The E stands for evacuate. 3, from memory, talks about how you're going to try and contain the incident. It could be on fire. It could be running away into a water catchment, down drains. Amazing things. So in Forestville, in fact, even to this day, on this particularly very steep street, there are still, and this is probably 30 years ago, there were these blackened telegraph poles where a petrol tanker was coming down. It flipped over, caught on fire, and there was a sea of fire coming out of this petrol tanker. So it was well and truly on fire. It was full with tens and tens of thousands of litres of highly flammable liquid. And it ran down the hill, and it was going down all the drains, and all the power poles caught on fire. It was an incredible incident. And so that's an example of a major incident. But then you've got, imagine a truck that's carrying, hydrochloric acid, for example. And hydrochloric acid is used to clean bricks. And if you put it on a brick, it just fizzes and bubbles. But the gas that it gives off is highly, highly toxic. And can you imagine a massive truck just full of acid, and it tips over, and that acid is just so, so corrosive, or chlorine. And some chemicals, and the fires have to be really aware of this, is that some chemicals that are transported react with water and create a violent explosion. Really? Can you imagine a fire you go to and because what happens, it happens with magnesium, so that it actually bonds with the oxygen molecule and creates an intense... So if you've got a fire and it's burning hot, and then you put water on it with magnesium, in fact, in the fire brigade, we used to use this as a technique. You'd actually put water on the magnesium, which would create the most amazing, brilliant white glow, so white heat, which is a lot hotter than orange, yellow, red. It's sort of the ultimate, if you can imagine, pure white glowing. And what we'd do is we'd actually train water on the fire, on the magnesium, and what in effect we were doing is we were accelerating the reaction so that the fire would just burn more intensely but a lot faster. And that was a technique to put the fire out by just simply speeding up the process, which is quite interesting.
All right.
And then you've got really, really scary chemicals. And let's face it, let's kind of think about this in a really sensible way, that every single chemical that's produced has to be transported. Let's take mercury, for example. Mercury doesn't, to my knowledge, is not mined in Australia. I know that it's mined in Africa, and I think it could be in Spain, highly, highly toxic. You know, mercury gives off a vapor at room temperature. And imagine if the mercury is being transported and the truck has the crash and the mercury goes everywhere. And you can't, I mean, how on earth do you collect all the mercury? And like a water, like a river, all any liquid, you know, it takes the path of least resistance. So if the water comes out, not the water, the chemical comes out and it's in liquid form, it's just going to run because it's working with gravity, and it finds the lowest points, and the lowest points are generally down drains.
Ah,
and in, water and supply. It's just, and you know, and it soaks in to the soil. And then you've got acids like, one of my favourite acids is hydrofluoric acid. Why are you laughing, Paul?
Who has a favourite acid?
Well, I mean, in terms of what acids can do.
Right.
But, I mean, acids are really amazing. I guess because over time, humans have used acid to... Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Destroy bodies?
Correct. To dissolve bodies. And aside to this, I love the little asides we do, was that the very first case in British legal history where they charged someone with murder without the body, which is bloody amazing, because you used to have the body to prove murder. But the first case in British legal history, and if anyone would like to correct me, and I'm happy to sort of give myself an uppercut, but from memory...
Jesus.
What's wrong? Hang on a sec. I'll just give myself...
No, just giving yourself an uppercut is quite the image, yeah.
Yeah, the visual. But it was the very famous acid bath murderer. And this person used to dissolve bodies in a bath full of acid. And he was charged with the murder of at least one person. But the good thing, not the good thing, but the amazing thing about that particular case is that they actually did not have a body because it had been dissolved. And so acids is a thing that's used to get rid of bodies. I mean, there are lots and lots of ways to get rid of bodies. And if you're really, really clever and smart and think about it, like if someone said to me, if I'm going to ask myself a hypothetical question, how would I get rid of a... Is this a question you've ever asked me, Paul? Has anyone ever asked?
I don't think so.
How would I get rid of a body? Shall I answer it?
Yes.
There are lots and lots of ways to do it, of course. The main thing about getting rid of a body is that you've got to be really calm and deliberate. So that's why you might want to put the body in the freezer, and lots of people have done that, and just give yourself days, weeks, months to sort of regroup, calm down, think methodically about how you're going to get rid of the body. And the best way, I reckon, to get rid of a body is to freeze it, then cut it up into tiny bits, and then over many, many weeks and months, just put tiny little bits of it into a bag within your normal household garbage and just put it out with the garbage. But do it over a very long period of time. On the balance of probabilities, it's unlikely that that anyone will ever find it, because it goes to a transfer station. It's then compacted, sent out in these big trucks out west, and it's put into landfill. So I think by that stage, so that's one way.
Okay.
I mean, there are lots of ways, but yeah.
I love that you've told our listeners how best to get rid of a body. I mean,
well, I'm not going to say it's the best way, but it's a way to, I mean, if you cut your finger, and we've all cut our fingers, one thing that has always surprised me is the incredible amount of blood that just keeps coming out. And if you sort of, it just, you know, there's eight litres, I think between 6 and 8 litres of blood, which is, that's 6 to 8 litre bottles of, like, you know, well, you know how much a litre of milk is.
Yeah.
Imagine lining up 6 to 8 of those. That's blood. So that's a problem in itself. That's why if you freeze the body, you don't have that problem, although it is going to thaw out, so you need to, you know, work fairly quickly.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to sort of sound morbid, but, because I'm not, you know that I'm not a morbid, I'm not even a glass half full. My glass is continually overflowing.
Yes, but sometimes the drink in the glass is very flat.
Paul, that's astute, but not very nice of you to say that. That cut deep.
All right. Well, I have one more question before we round out this delightful episode of very strange listener frippery, and I love it. Here we go.
Paul, the word frippery.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Is that from A Long Way to Frippery?
I'm going to go with...
go with no.
Yes. What is the other question?
They broke the mold when you were born, Paul.
Well, you broke the mold because I'm from you. So, is it weird talking to your adult son on a podcast about stuff you did? Does that ever strike you as a kind of odd career trajectory?
No, because I regard our friendship and relationship as exceptional and bloody fantastic. So
that's it's
really good.
I'm very lucky.
I'd love to be able to, you know, just get a lot of blokes together and go, you know what? If you've got a son, you know, it can be great. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, also one quick thing. I'm not sure how many listeners are aware of this, but over the past few weeks, we have been asking you to pre-order Electric Blue, my second book about Dad, because it's up for pre-order right now. And we went to Booktopia and saw that it was number 6 on the charts. And this is before it even came out, because of all your pre-orders. So I just wanted to thank everybody for that and say that, you know, we can get it to number 1, I think.
I can't wait to... When am I going to get a copy, Paul?
Very, very soon.
Paul, I would really like to thank all our listeners for pre-ordering the book. It's it's big. It's exciting. It's going gangbusters. And let's see if we can get it to number 1, which would be marvelous.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. I'm looking on Booktopia right now on their coming soon true crime charts, and we're number 4. Like, we are crawling up the charts, and the book's not even out yet. So if you haven't already pre-ordered your copy of Electric Blue, good God, I worked so hard on this book, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. It is a weird, weird book about Dad, and God knows we all love weird books about Dad. So all you have to do to make this rocket to the top of the charts is head to any of your book sellers, any of your local booksellers, you can head across to Booktopia. Booktopia is actually really good. It's got a really good price on there if you want to pick it up for kind of cheap, which is cool. And just look up Electric Blue by Paul F. Verhoeven. By the way, we added the F because my middle name is Francis, but Francis. I just mispronounced my own middle name. Jesus Christ. Dad, do you want to tell listeners why my middle name is Francis?
Well, it's not after Francis of Assisi. I can tell you that. It's because my middle name is Francis.
Sure.
I thought it'd be nice for you to have carry the tradition on, because my grandfather's middle name, his first name was Francis.
Mm.
And it's a great name. I think it's a cool name.
It's not bad.
Paul, I actually have received a request. I haven't told you about this, but I'm actually driving up to Palm Beach on Thursday to sign one of your books, the first book, for a birthday present for someone.
Really?
Yeah, it's a request has come through, and I'm going to go and do that because I think it's such a lovely thing to do.
That's lovely.
Wanted to send the book to you and then get you to sign it, then mail it back. But I thought, no, because it could get lost somewhere in this climate. So I said, no, I shall drive to Palm Beach and do a bit of a dedication on your behalf as well. So I'm doing Thursday.
Tell you what, call me when you're there, right?
Okay.
And I'll tell you what to write, and I'll describe my signature to you, and you can try and do my signature as best as you can.
Brilliant. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, look, I guess happy birthday to the person whose book it is, but I mean, really, thank you so much, everyone, for listening throughout this season of Loose Units. Hot stuff coming through. I suspect that next week's episode will be probably the final episode of this season of the stories of Dad's time in the Fire Brigade. If you have any more questions before we close the door on this chapter of Dad's career, make sure you send them to us by heading across to facebook.com/loose units and then just message us, or leave a post on the page and we will answer it and we'll fold those questions in. Thank you so much to everyone for their questions this week. And we'll see you later this week for Loose Ends.
Fantastic. And all the best. Talk soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.